The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to him, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but you have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For Simon Peter and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats ashore, they left everything and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
In the first reading in the Gospel, we hear about images of frightful encounters with the Lord. Isaiah in his vision, beholding the Lord, that he was in fear. And Peter here, in fear before the miracle of the Lord. This seems alien to us today, this sense of the fear of the Lord. Yet we know it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Then we should re-examine what this means. We could also say the fear of the Lord is a sense of awe and wonder at the awesomeness of the Lord. This is something that we've lost. And even the sense of the fear, if we lost it, is a sense of the loss of sin. If we put these together, the awe and the wonder and the fear of the Lord, what starts to come together is the grandeur of the Lord and His plan, His wisdom, that is so far beyond us. In truth, we are like a little grain of sand on a beach in comparison to the grandeur of the ocean, of the Lord's intellect, His way of creating, His vision of the whole of the universe and the whole of time. We should always keep this in mind. See, we live in fears and doubts and limited understanding. In the past, they've recognized, at least some sense, that the world is disordered, that I can't control things, and that God is beyond me. That was their sense of fear. We know after sin that this is a worthy sense in some ways, as the angel came and purified Isaiah with hot coals on his lips, so that he could preach the word of God properly. What we hear in Isaiah at that point is a calling, a vocation. And here too, with St. Peter, a calling, a vocation starting. With Isaiah, it could have been with all the dreams and the hopes of the future. And Peter, being struck, "Wait, I'm being called to do something which I didn't even expect." This is the way of the Lord. Every one of you are called by your baptism. We know that Peter continued that calling and kept getting into the boat with the Lord. In some descriptions, he's called a blockhead when he was younger, his first vocation. That he was trying to follow the Lord, but many times didn't understand, questioned the Lord, wanted to protect the Lord from the passion, made remarks when he shouldn't have made remarks, took out his sword when he shouldn't have taken out his sword. But he continued to get into that boat, even through the storms and the difficulties. The sad reality is that some do not even get into the boat. They fear the deep water. They fear the challenges, the difficulties. So they remain aloof to the calling of the Lord, to go out into the difficulties and the challenges. For others, when the difficulties and the challenges come to you, as they come to every human being, you turn away from the Lord. We see this in the history of the church, when wars and persecution come upon the church, upon peoples. There are two opposite movements. There are those who draw closer to the Lord, being purified, and rise up and even defend the faith with the Lord. And there are others who fade away in fear. They remain on the shore, trying to live their comfortable lives, which never really ends up being comfortable. In the history of the church, we can look at the times such as around the French Revolution or the Mexican persecution of the Catholics in the early 20th century. And there were responses among many Catholics who just sort of faded away, gave in to what the government said, stopped practicing their faith. Some of them violently turned against the faith, sadly. Others just sort of kept undercover. But there were those who stood up and say, "My faith is so important, it's worth dying for." Such as in the region of the Vendée. Catholics in that area had been living their festivities, the Catholic culture, the equivalents of the St. Patrick's parties and the coffee and donuts at their time, and coming together, different pleasantries at times. But when the persecution came upon the church, they had a decision, and they took that decision to stand up for the faith, to defend the priests and the Catholic Church and their buildings, even taking physically arms against their own government to protect religious freedom. And we know there was a precursor to that, is that that area was evangelized by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, especially preaching the consecration to Jesus through Mary, so that the Catholics in that area had become fixed in being children of Mary and wanted to defend her honor above all things and her church. She is the greatest member of the church. This was the heart and the soul of the people of the Vendée, who stood up and eventually did win religious liberty for the whole of France. Or later in the 20th century, what we call now the Cristeros, as the government of Mexico, a communist government, communists and Freemasons, literally outlawed the Catholic Church. Couldn't even do an act of charity in the name of the Church. The Knights of Columbus and others supported the Church in secret, and the people, especially in the area of Michoacán, stood up against their own government, saying, "No, we will not accept this." They likewise were normal peasants, as you might call them, farmers, simple people, loving the festivities, perhaps getting drunk sometimes when they shouldn't at the church feasts and events. But when it came time to stand up for their faith, not to let the culture overtake it, they stood up. And you know what happened both among the Cristeros and the area of the Vendee is that they became areas of evangelization of themselves. They became schools of the faith, so that many vocations came out of those areas. To this day, if you go to that area in Mexico, many, many vocations come from that area, much more than the rest of Mexico. The children know their prayers. The parents pray the rosary. The festivities are still kept in the churches. Now, they have their difficulties and challenges, just like we do all, among which now they have drugs and gangs and other infighting. But this is part of living in the boat, or going into the boat with the Lord. Well, there can be storms and difficulties, and then we can behold the Lord saying, "Be still," and the storm stops. Or the Lord walking on the water and saving us from sinking. And to understand His plan is much greater than our plan, perhaps as Martha and Mary came to understand after they beheld their brother Lazarus being resurrected after 4 days. In the mysterious ways of the Lord, they had called out, "Lord, save our brother. We know You performed this miracle and that miracle and this one." And He didn't do anything, seemingly. He let their brother die. But only afterward, after He resurrected him, could they understand the grandeur of His plan. That He had a plan they could not understand. A plan they could not foresee. And this is the grandeur of the Lord. This calls us to continue to have fear, to continue to be in awe and wonder at the plans of the Lord, even if difficulties and challenges and persecutions and wars come. Even then, actually, we could see the graces of the Lord purifying souls or nations and take heart. Through this comes the purification of the Lord. He has a way that we cannot foresee. He has a way that is beyond our human reckoning. Our call is continue to go out into that boat with the Lord. To continue to take hold of the words that we hear in the second reading. Believe it, Jesus suffered and died for us, resurrected. And this is the good news that we hope in. This is our hope. This is our salvation. This will bring us to safe harbor. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.